The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Right at 41 Cross Street, above the fabulous Alto Forno restaurant that is on 41 Cross Street and across from the North Shore Mall, of course, where the Sears sign is down and the building will soon be demolished. That's right. No more Sears. Sears will soon be a parking lot. And I'm looking forward to being able to see that all come tumbling down from the treetop studio that I have in my office. Over at 41 Cross Street, right in the corner office. We got the conference room. I can watch brick by brick as it all gets demolished down. I understand they're doing some work over in the auto dealership, the old Sears automotive dealership. That's soon to be a Tesla dealership. And it looks like there's, I think it's Lifetime Fitness, Anytime Fitness, one of these fitness places going up soon also in the parking lot over at the North Shore Mall. Lots of changes going on over there. They need to change their look to make sure that they continue to stay contemporary enough to take your dollars to buy retail products, to be entertained, because, look, how do you spend your money these days? Many more and more people are buying anything and everything over the internet. Do you want to get a staple? Do you want to get a picture hook? Do you want to get a car? Do you want to get a, you want to buy a cow? You can buy anything you want over the internet, and Amazon probably sells it these days. So you want a better experience, and that's what the malls are trying to do, is create a better experience for you, create a retail experience, also create a lifestyle experience. And so we're seeing that develop over at the North Shore Mall. I have the bird's eye view of getting to watch all of that happen, and I'm here with you each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing financial advice in a language you can understand. That's what we'll try to do each and every Sunday. Like I said, I'll give you real live stories, things that are really happening all around us right here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley, because after all, we are the local radio station, North Shore 104.9, and we want to be sure that what you hear and what you learn about is stuff that impacts your life, not what's happening in the Shenandoah Valley. That doesn't matter. What matters is how life is impacting you. What is going on here? How your money gets impacted? Because you know what? Something that I found was very, very interesting in a report that I saw just this past week. We all have to live somewhere, right? Rent around this country is one of those things that is just blow you away how different in price it is. So this report that came out that talked about the cost of a one-bedroom apartment. Today, the average cost for a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco, downtown San Francisco, $3,400 for a one-bedroom. One bedroom! Now, that, in some cases, is twice the amount of many people's mortgage, maybe even three times the amount of your mortgage when you think about just the principal and interest, right? It's $3,400 for a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco. The median rent, though, for a one-bedroom apartment in Omaha, Nebraska, $825. Big difference, right? So, do you think the needs of people in Omaha, Nebraska are different from the needs of people in San Francisco, California? Certain basic needs, they're about the same. But when you're thinking about going out to eat, you know, think about the amount of money that you need to be making to be able to go out for a nice dinner, to go out to the theater, to go out and do things, to go to sporting events. I had a friend of mine who actually lives in Kansas City, Missouri. She had heard that the Chiefs were coming up to Boston to play the Patriots up in this, you know, the next month or a week or so. I don't even know what the date is. And she says, I'm thinking about coming up. I'm interested in, you think I could stay at your house? No problem. She says, how far is Foxborough Stadium from where you live? And how easy is it to get tickets? I said, well, hold on a second. You're coming from Kansas City, Missouri. Let me give you a little, let me frame this a little bit for you. First of all, you're welcome to stay at my house. Stay as long as you want. No problem. It's going to be about an hour to an hour and 15 minute ride getting to Foxborough. When you get there, you're going to pay somewhere between $60 or $80 just to park. Just for the privilege to park. Now, getting a ticket, well, you're not going to be able to walk up to the box office and say, hey, I'd like a ticket to the Patriots game today. You're going to have to buy that through StubHub and probably pay 2 to 3 times what the face value of that ticket is, because it is one of the hottest tickets in town. And if you want to spend somewhere around, let's say, $300 to $400 a ticket, figure you'll be in the 300 section, which is really like the nosebleed section. Now, you want to eat? Figure it's going to cost you $20 at least for lunch for each of you. I don't think you're going to be buying a foam finger, and you're not going to be buying a Patriots shirt. But then the game's going to end. And then you gotta leave and figure you're gonna be in the parking lot if you stay for the end of the game for at least a good 2 hours before you even get out and start running on the road, and then it's another hour back. And so she said to me, well, I'm glad that you've given me the heads up. I think I will stay in Kansas City. She's not even coming. So we know, we all have to condition ourselves for what life is like. Look, I've gone to baseball games. I've gone with my son, Jerry. We've been to Anaheim, California. We've been to Baltimore. We've been to all these places where you can walk up to the box office, buy a bleacher seat, and then work your way down to sit behind the dugout. And you can park for like $6. You pay a ticket price of, say, $15. That doesn't happen here. People don't realize how life is more expensive in different regions of the world. So like I said, a one-bedroom apartment right now in Omaha, Nebraska, $825. In San Francisco, California, $3,400. But here's the new place that's really up and coming. This is kind of middle of the road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Have you been to Charlotte? It's really, I mean, the whole North Carolinas, the Carolinas in general, really been growing out. Now, you can stay in certain areas where it's much less expensive, but Charlotte, North Carolina, average one-bedroom apartment, $1,275. You might think, reasonable, not bad. That's where people are going these days, folks. It is very, very, very expensive to live here. That's why our homes, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $400,000, whatever your home is, it's expensive to live here, and here's the challenge. It's not getting cheaper, especially with interest rates going up. We just saw another Fed increase this past week. We're likely to see potentially 2 more increases in 2018 and then 3 more potentially in 2019. And when interest rates go up, it's good for some, but painful for others. If you are thinking about buying a home, if you think, oh, now's the time for me to be looking at a home, I would say you're coming pretty close to the opportune time to be buying. You're going to miss out on this window of opportunity to buy a home, I should say, because as interest rates keep going up, that means mortgage rates have to go up to correspond with it. And when mortgage rates go up, that means that your average payment is going to be higher from what you are normally paying on a house that you might have purchased today. So many people believe, oh, I'm going to buy a house. It'll just continue to appreciate in value. Well, if interest rates keep going up in the years to come and you now want to sell your home, chances are the appreciation that you thought you were going to see on your home isn't necessarily going to happen, because it's costing people more and more money to buy your house, which has to, you have to find what's that competitive balance. Where does it become what's called a buyer's market, where right now it's been a seller's market? Many sellers are able to compete. They're taking offers that are above asking price. Folks, that is all going to change, and it's going to happen rather quickly. So be careful there. Another thing, though, from people that are excited about interest rates are going up, these are what I call cash investors. These are people that like to put a lot of their money into the bank. They like to buy money markets and CDs. Great thing to do. It's guaranteed money, backed in many cases by the FDIC, the Federal Depository Insurance Company. I hope I'm saying that right. It is FDIC, and it's guaranteed up to $250,000 in your account. Those rates are going up. Folks, you can buy a money market fund these days in the twos. Most people still think, oh, it's still 0.1 something percent. Well, here, let me give you an example. I pulled this report up. JP Morgan puts out they call it a guide to the markets report. And this is the third quarter report that just came out this past week. It's got about maybe 500, 200, I don't even know, so many slides, so many pictures of illustrative ways to talk about various segments of the market and what's going on. Well, one thing that they show us in a slide that I have here in my hand is what's called the yield curve. And what the yield curve is it takes a look to see what is the trajectory of interest rates earned when you buy something that is 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 10 years, 30 years. Usually you would think that the further you go out on what's called the yield curve, the further you go out, the higher interest rate you should be able to get, because you're basically turning money over to the government and saying, here's my $10,000. You can keep it, pay me interest for 1 year or 5 years or 10 years or 30 years, depending upon what you buy. You would, of course, expect to get more interest the longer that you wait. That would make more sense, right? So back in 2013, if you wanted to buy a 3 month treasury, you basically had 0%. If you wanted to buy a 1 year treasury, you got 0.13%. If you wanted a 2 year treasury, you got 0.38%, and a 3 year would pay you 0.78. So you can now understand why the banks weren't offering anything on CD rates, because if the government is giving 0.78% on a 3 year treasury, how can the bank offer anything greater than that? The bank always has to be something less than that, right? So here's now fast forward 5 years. We've seen some rate increases already, and more rate increases are bound to come. A 1 year treasury right now pays 2.59%. 5 years ago it was 0.13. That's a big jump in difference. A 2 year is at 2.81 and a 3 year is at 2.88. This comes from the Federal Reserve fact set out of the U.S. data as of September 30th, 2018. So with 3 years ago, 5 years ago, those 1, 2, and 3 year rates were 0.13, 0.38, and 0.78. Today they're 2.5, 2.8, and 2.8. That's a big difference. But get this. So this is what's interesting. This is where we talk about the yield curve. So back 5 years ago, the 3 year treasury was paying 0.78, but the 30 year treasury was paying 3.96%, almost 4%. Now, were you willing to give up your money for 30 years to get 4%? I don't think many people wanted to do that. Well, here's what's happened, which is really kind of interesting. Remember I told you today you can buy a 1, 2, or 3 year treasury somewhere between 2.5 and 2.8%. A 5 year is 2.9. A 7 year is 3.01. A 10 year is 3.05. And a 30 year is 3.19. Now, wait a second. Didn't I just say that 5 years ago, the 30-year treasury was paying 3.96, and today the 30-year treasury is paying 3.19. But I thought interest rates were going up. That doesn't make sense, Mark. Short-term interest rates are going up. When they move interest rates, they happen on the short side. On the shorter side, the 30-year moves with what the market is. So basically, if you wanted to buy a 10-year treasury and a 30-year treasury, you're basically buying the same interest rate, 3.05 versus 3.19. Why would anybody buy a 30-year treasury? Doesn't make sense. Lots of stuff to learn. That's what's called the flattening of the yield curve, when the yield is relatively similar to what the 10-year was to equal to the 30. Now, there's the other thing that happens. It's called an inverted yield curve. Now, this is really getting intense. This is financial advice in a language you're trying to understand, I know. It's going the other way. It means the longer you go out on the yield curve, the lower the interest rate. That's kind of an oddity, and it happens sometimes. Well, that's just, I'll leave that to think about that. That was, we just went into bond investing 301. So we really didn't make it financial advice you could really, really, really understand. We made it so that you could kind of understand it. I promise you, when we get back to the next segment, we got more financial advice in a language you can really, really, really understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. So as we were going out of the last segment and into the commercial break, my phone starts ringing and it's Todd Tanger, the owner of the station, calling. He says, Mark, you forgot to yell out the call letters. We're 104.9. I just ended it. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. I forgot to mention the 104.9. So, Todd, my apologies to you. And for those of you that weren't certain of the station you were listening to, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hey, you know what today is? Today's Sunday. Today is the second Sunday of the Topsfield Fair. And we have great weather. The first weekend we had for the fair, unbelievable. Many of you know I run a booth called the B'nai B'rith booth at the Topsfield Fair. Got to meet many of you actually this past weekend. You came over, you said hello, you said you love listening to the show. You got a free brownie. It all worked out pretty well for you. Monday and Tuesday, washout, which was fine with me. I enjoyed the kind of break in the weather. The rest of this week has been terrific, and get ready, folks. If you haven't been to the fair, I would get into your car now and start heading to the parking lot, because there will be a very long wait to get into this lot, a long wait to get to the fair. It is going to be a crazy, crazy day today. We've got one thing that I'm very, very excited about for Sunday, for today. 3 p.m. today, we got the finals of the hot dog eating competition. Now, I told you about this. I was on with Lindsay, Matt, and Erica a week ago Friday. We talked about it. We promoted it a little bit. I was back on the phone with Erica this past week on Wednesday promoting the contest, because let me tell you what happened last week at the hot dog eating contest. So we had three heats. Each of them happened at the Tree and on stage. We bring out quarter-pound hot dogs. Now, this is not the Wimpy Nathan-style hot dogs, which are usually 1.9 to 2-ounce hot dogs. Our quarter-pound hot dogs are exactly that, 4 ounces. 16 ounces in a pound, 4 ounces in a hot dog. Now, that, 4 ounces, that means a quarter. That's financial advice, right? In a language you can understand. We're making it really simple. You take 16 divided by 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. I asked a kid this question as I was standing and entertaining up on the stage. I asked this 8-year-old kid to come up and tell me how many ounces there would be in a quarter-pound hot dog. And he impressed me that he actually knew that. 4 ounces. So, yes, 4 ounces is the equivalent of 2 hot dogs. Well, one person in the first round ate, in 10 minutes, 10 hot dogs, which is the equivalent of 20 regular-sized hot dogs. With the bun, everybody asked, well, did that come with the bun? Yep. They said, did he dip it into water? Yep, he did, actually. He was one of these guys that dipped it into water. Some people chose not to. Some people did. Some people were ripping these hot dogs apart, tearing the buns, shoving things in their mouth, mangling hot dogs. Just, there was another guy, I think his name was Bryce. He was in like round two or round three. His strategy was take the hot dog, break it in half, hold it in his hands, and it felt like he was eating 2 hot dogs at a time. He found that that was a better way to consume it. Everybody had an approach. So the finalists from each of the three heats are invited to come back today, 3 o'clock at the Tree and on stage for the big eat off to see how many hot dogs they can eat to win a prize of $200. Now, here's what surprised me. I was excited about the competition. I was excited about the competitors. I was excited about everything that happened. What I had no idea was how many people were going to show up to watch. Folks, you're all freaks. You're all standing. I mean, I'm a freak too. I mean, but they all came to see. Maybe someone will throw up. Maybe someone will turn green. Maybe, I mean, there was this woman that came up in the, I think she was in the third heat. She came up and she was wearing a red t-shirt. It had like, it looked like a Budweiser, decal on the front, but instead of it saying Budweiser, it said America. So I referred to her as Miss America, as the contestant that came up. Well, she was being peppered on by her friends to come up and do this because there was no cost to compete. She goes up there, and all of a sudden, the judges bring on the hot dogs. And each of them drop a tray in front of each of them. They have six hot dogs. And this girl's eyes, like, opened up. She had never seen hot dogs this big before. She was not expecting that. It just, the whole place just erupted in laughter when they saw the look on her face. But there had got to be 2,000 people at least. I mean, I'm underestimating probably 2,000. The number of people that just filled the grassy area around the tree and on stage, cheering on people. We had a music guy just blaring music, pumping him along, encouraging these people to eat. And it was absolutely hysterical, very entertaining. So if you want to come see the finals, 3 o'clock today at the Tree and on Stage. All you got to do is pay your admission to get into the fair. There's so much to see and so much for free once you're in the fair. You know, the big pumpkin, world record setting pumpkin. This guy came from Rhode Island to deliver this pumpkin. It was awesome. Way over 2,000 pounds. He did that. There's the chicks that get hatched. You can see all that stuff. Watch these little chicks in the incubators. The eggs start to crack open. The little chicks start to peek their beak through. You can see the Robinson's racing pigs. No, not Robin. Robinson's racing pigs. I think that's what he calls it now. Oh, one of the racing pigs, Swifty Swine, someone like that. They're all pigs, and they all race, and they all run to eat Oreos. That's what they're racing for. These people say, what do you mean? I've never heard of the pigs. Well, what happens? If those of you that know, you know that when you go to the Topsfield Fair, this is one of the must-see attractions. They pull 3 or 4 little pigs out of their pens, and they stick them down in these in little sleeves of where they're going to just get launched from. The door's in front of them, and there's little track that they run around. The door lifts up. These 4 pigs go racing up. They go running around the track. Then they have to go up this little ramp. They jump into a pool of water, splash down, swim across the pool of water, get back out, start running down the rest of the ramp, run around the rest of the track, and the first one that gets there dives for the Oreo cookie. It's pretty cool. And if you're lucky, the guys over there have these baby pigs this year. You can kind of pet the baby pigs if you want. So much to see. Chubby Checker was there this week. Charlie Daniels Band was there this week. Martina McBride, what a show last night that she did. Lots and lots of things going on at the fair. I strongly encourage you to visit. And if you're in the neighborhood, swing by the B'nai B'rith booth. As you well know, I run the B'nai B'rith booth. We have sold an enormous number of knishes, brisket, hot dogs, and our number one seller right now is the Oy Vey sandwich. The Oy Vey sandwich, the biggest sandwich you'll find at the fair, and it's only $10. Now get this. It just blows my mind. We sell our quarter pound hot dog. We sell our quarter pound hot dog, 4 ounces of a hot dog, $4. That's what we sell it for. Best deal at the fair. Around the corner from us, there is a booth that is selling a foot long hot dog, which weighs 3 ounces for $8.50. Yes, you heard that right. So here's some financial advice in a language you can understand. If you're hungry and you're looking for value, you may want to buy a 4-ounce hot dog, all beef hot dog, by the way, for $4, rather than a foot-long 3-ounce hot dog, not all beef, for $8.50. But people still buy it. You go to the... It just blows me away, the illogic behavior of some people that go to the fair. But I guess that's part of the fun of it, to all be morons at the fair. And, you know, just who would pay $8 for a fried dough? Do you know it costs about 11 cents to make that fried dough? But we do it. We all are suckers for that stuff. We just do it. Anyways, some financial advice in a language you can understand, even more of it. We had someone come into the office a couple weeks ago, and it may be something that you're facing with. This person was about ready to retire. They were actually retiring 2 weeks from the day they came in to see us. They had already submitted in their paperwork, and they were hoping that we might be able to help them out with some financial planning. Well, if it's 2 weeks before you're ready to retire and you've already turned in your paperwork, I'll help you. I'll help you deal with the decisions that you already made, but I can't help you with making decisions. And this was a problem, actually, when I saw this. This was somebody who had been working as a teacher for a great number of years, 30 plus years working as a teacher in one of the public schools here. And she had decided, as you all well know, teachers get a pension. They don't get Social Security. They get a pension, and they have three options generally. Option number one is what's called Option A, which is the largest payout that you'll get every month from your retirement date until death. But upon your death, when you die, there's no payments to your spouse, no continued income. It just stops. That is it. That's called Option A. Now, you do get the largest amount of money every month, for sure. But if you die a month later, that's it. I mean, and this person was entitled to an $80,000 pension. So this person had a pretty significant position in the school systems, was going to get an $80,000 a year pension. Now, I tried to explain to this person, what is $80,000 a year the equivalent to? I said, if you were given the opportunity to have $80,000 a year paid to you for the rest of your life, or someone hands you $2 million, which would you prefer? It's an interesting question for some. Interesting thought, and you know, there really is no right or wrong answer. But many people are very jealous of their friends that they see retiring from a private, a public company, a publicly traded, or even a private industry or whatever, rather than a government industry, with a 401k or something like that that's over $1 million. It's a, oh my God, they got $1 million, or they got $1.5 million. But you just got this person, and you're entitled to an $80,000 a year pension for the rest of your life. Not going away. Not impacted by the stock market. You're getting $80,000 guaranteed. Tiny, tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny inflation effect to, impacted or added to it. So figure $80,000. And she said, this is a great deal. I said, yeah, but what happens if you die in the next year or so? She goes, I'm not planning on that. I'm like, what? Well, I'm not planning on dying either, but it could happen. And so I tell her the story about a very sad story. This happened 30 years ago. No, I'm sorry, not quite 30, 20 years ago. He was actually a teacher, that I had when I was at Peabody High School. He had then gone on to, he left that school and went on to be a teacher at a couple other places. He was a teacher in the public school system. He chose to take the life-only pension. Hadn't told us. We met him after the fact. He had just retired. 30 days to the date of his retirement, dies in the shower. And his wife got nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So my story is that as a teacher, as someone that works for the government offices, for the school systems, whatever it is, you have the choice of option A, option B, or option C. Option A sounds like the best deal. Oh my God, look how much money I'm going to get. Option B, which I generally do not recommend for married couples. Option B is a slightly lower monthly payment, but if you die, your survivor gets all the money, call it all or a portion of the money that you paid into the system. You get this statement that shows you what your contribution is that you've put into the system, that you would get that. Option C is a slightly further lower amount, and then your spouse gets 2/3 of what that amount would have been. So there's protection there. And this woman had already submitted paperwork for the life-only option. She says, well, I know. I'm not planning on dying. But if I do, I'm going to buy life insurance to protect my spouse. I said, oh. I said, so you've submitted the paperwork to the school department. Have you applied for the life insurance yet? No, I'll just do that soon. I said, how do you know that you're even going to be eligible for life insurance? Well, I'm in pretty good health. I'm not too worried about it. Yeah, but you're already 65 years old. So life insurance is going to be expensive anyway. She says, oh, no, not for me. I'm buying term life insurance policy. Life insurance. I said, that's fine. I have no problem with term. That means you buy plain insurance. If you die, your spouse gets something else. I said, how much insurance were you planning on buying? Oh, I don't know, a couple $100,000. Well, you're about to get $80,000 a year for the rest of your life. But if you die, your spouse will get $200,000 to make up for all of the years that they lost. That is not enough insurance. I just told you, if you wanted to buy insurance, you should be looking to buy $2 million of insurance or $1.5 million. Well, why would I want to leave that much to him? He's sitting right here next to you. And his attitude, which was even worse, was, we'll deal with it. Now, come to me for advice, I'll give you advice. But if you really don't care about the advice, don't come knocking on my door. We want to help you. I want to help you make financially smart decisions. And sometimes apathy is the reason that we make stupid financial decisions. But coming to us after you've made those decisions when they're irrevocable does not help you out, and it does not allow us to help you. That's some financial advice in a language I think everyone can understand. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, I've got a lot more to talk about, a lot more things to talk about, money, talk about the fair. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
One of the most haunting musicals ever is coming to Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. Don't miss Jekyll and Hyde, starring recording artists, Broadway veterans, and American Idol finalist Constantine Maroulis and Diana DeGarmo. Jekyll and Hyde. His days were spent in pursuit of science. His nights were another story.
I need to.
The man one woman loves and the monster one woman fears.
If someone like you found me.
This romantic and thrilling new production will break your heart and make your blood run cold. At North Shore Music Theater from September 25th through October 7th. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org. No musical has ever held you like this. Sponsored by Iron Tree Service.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a great day. It is Sunday. Lots of things happening here in October. We are in Columbus Day weekend. We are heading up to the, we're in the home stretch of the Topsfield Fair, and then Salem happenings happen. It is, you stay away from Salem. Stay away from Salem. I mean, geez, I mean, who would want to drive through Salem the last 2 weeks of October? Public transportation works great. I mean, as long as Uber isn't charging you by the minute you sit in traffic, I mean, I guess that's a way to go. But man, I would not want to be driving into Salem, Massachusetts during the last 2 weeks of this month. I mean, lots of great things to do. If you're going to do that, get there early, plan to spend the day. Leaving Salem is a heck of a lot easier than getting into Salem. So plan accordingly. And besides Salem, I mean, there is plenty of stuff going on. Some of these farms that we have in our area, all of these corn mazes that they have. My operations manager, I should say, Sonia, was telling me that her daughter went to, I think it's Connor's Farm up here in Danvers, and they have this thing where you can shoot apples at targets. You've ever seen these the hydraulic t-shirt launchers that they sometimes have at sporting events? Well, they have like hydraulic apple launchers, and you can aim them at like targets and stuff. And her daughter thought it was the coolest thing. So my son, I guess there's a haunted maze going on up at Smolak Farms. And they're doing one of those because my son is dressed as one of the characters, along with several of the other students from North Andover High School. They'll be there to spook and scare you as you walk through the haunted maze or go on the haunted hayride. Or maybe it won't be him. Maybe it will really be a ghoul or a ghost, if you believe in all of that. And hey, if you want to go to Salem, there's plenty of people that do believe in all of that. And great stories, great things to see. That, you know, just getting out in our own neighborhood, in our own community here in the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley, so much to see, so much to do, and it really doesn't even cost you that much. But we are here each and every Sunday where I try to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We have been providing financial planning and investment management advice since 1968. No, not me. I was two. Dad was one of the founding fathers of the financial planning profession. My father started our firm here in Peabody many, many, many years ago. Dad has since retired in 2007. I came on board in 1991, so I'm celebrating my 27th year in this business. My business partner, Marion, joined us in 2000. She's been here on the radio show many times, and she's been with me, I guess, 18 years, if you do the math properly. And we have been a tandem of planners that have dealt with many, many people in the community. Those that have worked with us, those that listen to the show, those that have referred people to us all know that there is not Marion's client or Mark's client. It is our client. We want you to feel part of something. We want you to always know that if you've got a question that has anything to do with money, that you want to be sure that you can call us. Now, oftentimes, many people in our profession, they'll talk about asset allocation, or the important investments that you own, or the strategies that you have in your 401k plan, or how much you should have in retirement plans versus personal accounts. We do all of that stuff. That stuff is incredibly important. But once you make those investment decisions, life happens, and all these other things go on. You get into a car accident, and perhaps you need to file an insurance claim, or perhaps you need to buy a new car. You need to replace your roof, or mom and dad are ill and they need money, or you need to help out the kids. You want them to start to buy a house, or. Lots of things to do. Who do you turn to get objective, rational advice when it comes to major money decisions? Most people don't even think of their stockbroker or their investment person because they just deal with the investments. Well, at Friedman Financial, since 1968, we've been delivering comprehensive financial planning advice that goes far beyond an investment strategy. In fact, I oftentimes refer to our approach as a pie. Think about a pie. And I want you to think about financial planning as, if you will, the proverbial crust of the pie. You put in your filling, you put on your top, you stick the pie in the oven, you pull it out. Well, every slice that comes out has something to do with financial planning, and we want to touch all of those slices. Yeah, investments might be one of them, but so too might be, are you having the right withholdings done on your pay stub? Taxes, I mean, that's a critical one. Are you having the right tax withholdings done? And this year, where we have a new tax law, are you preparing appropriately for this year, and are you positioned well for next year? What about estate planning? Now, I'll ask many people, do you have a will? Have you planned properly? Now, you'll be amazed that more than half the population doesn't even have a will. And that doesn't surprise me, but I will tell you, as much as I want you to have a will, there are two other documents that I believe that you should have that are far more important than a will. And those things are a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney. Now, how do you get those? Well, generally, when you go to visit with an estate planning attorney these days, they have a package that they put together. You get your will, you get your power of attorney, you get your health care proxy, and you also get your house homesteaded, which means that no one can kick the other person out of their house if someone goes into a nursing home. But the power of attorney, this is what you will likely need at some point in your life. Think about if you or your spouse, or even if you're, especially if you're single and alone, what if you cannot sign on your behalf to pay bills, to sign off on a medical release, to maybe sign off on anything for that matter? Who would you entrust to do that? And if you don't have that document, how can those documents be signed? Having a power of attorney, usually it's your spouse if you're married, but perhaps it's your oldest child, or perhaps it's a close friend, whomever it might be. You should execute a power of attorney so that someone can step in your place when you are unable to perform a specific task or a certain skill set, that they can act on your behalf, especially when it comes to money. The other thing is the living will. I mean, the healthcare proxy, as I refer to it. This gives some clear instructions as to how you want your life to be managed when it's down to medical necessities, when it's down to doctors having to make a decision, how long do we want to keep this person alive? What means and what resources do we need to call upon to try to keep this person alive or just let them naturally go? If you don't have those things in place, your spouse can yell and scream about anything they want. They can demand. But Sometimes they're not going to listen to you unless there are some instructions. And let me tell you, when you're in a car accident and you've been taken off to a hospital and decisions have to be made and you don't have those healthcare proxies, It's a very, very, very emotional time for the family. Would you ever think of talking to your financial advisor about getting these documents in place? Usually, many people will think, well, I will go to an attorney and have these documents executed, written, and taken care of. But who's advising me on what I really need to even think about? And that's where we can come into play. I do not write these documents. I don't do tax returns. Think about this. Do you have the right insurance coverage? Now I'm just not talking about life insurance here. Automobile, homeowners, disability, long-term care, whatever it might be. Do I sell some of it? Yes, not all of it. But we, as a financial advisor, should be able to give you the scope of understanding of what do you need, what are the questions to ask, how do you think through all of this? And most importantly, when it's time to get serious, when you're approaching your 60s, and you're thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, I am now soon going to have to live off of my financial resources, and no paycheck is going to be coming in any longer. How do I know whether I've accumulated enough? How do I know where to take money from? Maybe I have a personal brokerage account, an old 401k, a retirement account, an annuity, cash value of a life insurance policy, money in the bank. Where's the best place to take that money from so that I pay the least amount of taxes and get to continue to live the lifestyle to which I've grown accustomed? Who is giving you that advice? Who's developing pictures and scenarios for you to examine to say this is possible or this is really, really pushing it? That's what I do every single day in my office. In fact, many of you know, because I've told you this several times on the radio, 65% of our clients, that's a little bit more than half, are retired, which means they have recognized that they no longer will be receiving a paycheck from work. They've taken their resources, their collective investment assets, cash assets, retirement assets, and consolidated them in such a way so that they are entrusting a firm like ours to provide them with an ongoing monthly check to supplement their Social Security, perhaps their pension, whatever it might be, so that they can continue to live the life they want and do it in such a way that their strategy remains extraordinarily flexible so that when they say, Mark, we're planning a vacation this year and it's going to cost us $15,000. Can I still take $15,000 from my account without interrupting our strategy? Or the kids have come to me and they'd really like us to help them with a down payment on their house. Or any of those things. That's what I do as a financial planner. That's what Marion does. That's what Friedman Financial does every single day. And I wish I could just tell you that there was a simple checklist that you go through, a fact finder that you complete, and it says, here's how you do it. It's that simple. That's not the case. Now, many of the talking heads on the television, on the radio, and I guess I'm a talking head on the radio, many people will say that there's just a simple strategy. Like Susie Orman will say, get rid of your debt, you'll be all set. It's not that simple, Susie. It might be simple to a section of this country that has a very simple, non-complex financial situation. But most people here in New England, most people here on the North Shore and in the Merrimack Valley have a variety of different types of strategies that they've implemented over the years. And now it makes sense to have someone sit back, look at the big picture, because now's the time to get serious. Because you're now planning for the next 30 years. When did you actually, when you were thinking about, when you were working, or even if you are working, are you thinking about where the next stream of income will come from for the next 30 years? Probably not. You're thinking about my paycheck for the month. Is it enough to cover the bills? Am I saving enough money? Johnny's got to go to college in about 10 years, or maybe grandma's not doing so well, or mom's not doing well. I got to help out here. How about you? When do you start to have the me time to think about how am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to have to rely on my kids? Am I going to have to rely on family? Will I have to change my strategy from how I spend my money today and downsize? And some people are like, well, I got to downsize. Well, that sounds all well and good. It's not that easy. Look, I know that I need to lose weight, and I can say that all the time. But do I? Well, maybe for a week or two. And then I go back doing the same routine that I've grown accustomed to. We all do it. We've got to prepare for it. And that is what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. Hey, I want to remind you about a newsletter that we put out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Point. There's more than 7,500 people subscribed to it. If you want to get my free newsletter, all you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to any page on the website. At the very bottom, you'll have an opportunity to sign up for Planning Pointers. Give me your name, your email address. You want to write me a note? You have a question for us? People send me questions all the time. Sometimes they ask if they can schedule appointments at the office, which we're more than happy to schedule for you. No cost at all, of course, to come in and visit with us. Sometimes they ask me questions that they'd like me to address here on the radio station. And that's what I'm going to do in the next segment. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't have one thing on my mind. One thing on my mind.
I do it for the long. I don't have one thing.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money. Welcome back to the last and final segment of Friedman Financial's North Shore 104.9's Dollars and Cents. I can't even say the right title right. I'm just stumbling over my words today. It is Sunday, October, middle of the month, Topsfield Fair happening today. One more day left. We are close to the home stretch. I want to remind you again, if you're going to the Topsfield Fair, get there for the 3 o'clock hot dog eating finals. We'll be awarding $200 to the person that can eat the most quarter pound hot dogs in 10 minutes. There was a gentleman that was there last week in the preliminaries. He ate 10 quarter pound hot dogs. That's the equivalent of 20 hot dogs. And he seemed to do it with ease. Oh, I think he could probably do, 15 hot dogs if really push came to shove. He really just didn't see much competition, so I think he was slowing down. And he also had to get his kids off to hockey, so he was trying to get out of there and probably didn't want to walk out on a full stomach. But man, this guy, I couldn't believe how many hot dogs this guy ate. Not to mention some of the other characters that we had during the preliminaries. There was a guy, I think his name was Blake, he tried to do the double-fisted, folded in half hot dogs. So he's like, you take a big, long, quarter-pound hot dog, break it in half, so you know you're looking at two ends, and he's trying to drill that into his mouth. Another guy is just demolishing and ripping hot dogs and bread into pieces and shoving that into his mouth. There was another guy, his name was Kareem. He represented Geico. Geico happens to be one of the exhibitors there, and he wanted to participate, so he comes up, clearly an entertaining guy. Guy loves to have a lot of fun, and he brings up six short stuffed Geicos. They're like, about 8 inches tall. You know, little Geico gecko, right? And so he says, for every hot dog I eat, I'm going to toss a Geico gecko into the crowd. And
did he?
Oh, yeah, he did it.
Very interesting.
He did just that. And so the crowd was going wild, cheering on Kareem. Kareem put down 5.5 hot dogs. And actually, in round three where he participated, 5.5 hot dogs was enough to qualify him for the finals. So perhaps he'll be back today. We've had a lot of very interesting people. I've met some people that actually go around competitively eating. I didn't realize how many restaurants, and I learned this through doing some research after talking to some of these eaters, how many restaurants do competitive eating challenges right here in Massachusetts. Now, granted, they're all over America. But right here in Massachusetts, there was a place that a woman that I met, she was going to the breakfast place or something like that. It was $37.99 to eat this breakfast. And if you could eat this breakfast in 30 minutes, you got your breakfast for free. Now, this included a dozen eggs, 4 pieces of toast, hash browns, a half pound of hash browns, bacon, sausage, kielbasa, ham, and a 16-inch pancake. Okay, and you had to eat it in 30 minutes. And she did it. in 29 minutes, 54 seconds. She ate the whole thing. She didn't want to pay for her breakfast. Have you ever paid $34.99 for breakfast? I think the only time I ever paid that much for breakfast was when I was in Hawaii at one of these, you know, five-star hotels, and you go down to the breakfast buffet and you realize breakfast is $35. I'm like, are you kidding me? For fruit? And but she got her money's worth for sure. But there are food eating contests everywhere. There are people that can eat. Can you eat an 8-pound pizza? An 8-pound pizza. Can you eat a massive burger? I guess there used to be a place up in Gloucester called Captain Cook's. They did a walk the plank challenge where you had to eat this enormous fisherman's platter. And there are pictures of people that have done these things. They're all over the place. You know, the man versus food shows that are out there. It's becoming a big deal. And there are people that are professionals. Of course, we all know the famous Nathan's hot dog eating contest with Joey Chestnut. A lot of people have competed in that. Man, I just don't know how people do it. I don't know how they do it, but hey, I guess it's something everyone's got a skill set, right? Anything to pick up the ladies, I guess. you know,
I don't know how many ladies you're going to be picking up by. I don't know. Do you know what I just ate?
Yeah.
Do you want to see how much competition I won?
You want to see how many pounds of spinach I can eat? And I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Nice.
And so there is, I mean, and it is men, it is women, it is kids. I can't tell you how many kids wanted to come up this past week and wanted to participate. I limited it to age 16 because I didn't want the kids getting sick or throwing up or just doing something stupid. I figured if you're stupid enough to eat that many hot dogs, at least be adult enough and take the responsibility for it. But we had a lot of fun. So if you're at the Topsfield Fair today, 3 o'clock, swing by the tree and on stage. It's where the crowds of people will be screaming and cheering them on. So be there on time. We will start at 3 o'clock. Anyways, I wanted to bring you up to date on some things that are going on in the market, some learning pieces that I've picked up from a report that I get from JP Morgan. It's called The Guide to the Markets. It comes out every quarter, a few days after the end of the quarter. And so I've got some updated third quarter information that I thought you might be interested in. You know, the markets have been actually doing quite well. But they've done quite well if you've been invested in particular sectors of the market. Most people are hearing about, oh, the S&P's up, or Amazon's up, or Apple's up. But many people who years ago were worried when Donald Trump won the election, when we were going through all that, they said, oh my God, this Trump market is just going to fall apart. But if I buy anything, I want to still be invested in the market, but I want to buy dividend paying stocks because that's the way to go. Buy dividend paying stocks. That will take good care of me. Now, I'm not going to say that they've done poorly because dividend paying stocks have not done poorly, but they have done less well than has growth-based investments. And that's what you have to put into perspective. So here, take this into consideration. If you break down the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 different sectors that make up the S&P 500. So let me explain to you what a sector is. It's a section of the industry. So a sector might be financials. We know what financials are. Banking institutions, financing institutions. You heard of real estate. That's pretty easy. REITs and office buildings, all that kind of stuff. How about technology? Well, would you consider Amazon and Google and Microsoft technology companies? Absolutely. What about energy? That's another sector of the market. That's all of our power plants and everything that has to do with energy. So there's 11 different sectors. It's 11 different sectors. Well, the two sectors that have done the very best this year, up 20% on average, 20% is what's called technology and consumer discretionary. Now, technology's easy. Technology's easy. You can say, all right, well, I've seen that Amazon's done well, Apple's done well, Microsoft's done well, lots of stocks have done well. But to consumer discretionary. When consumer discretionary is doing well, you know what that means? It means that our economy is doing amazing. It means that people are spending money on things that they don't have to spend money on, like eating out. Think about that, eating out, buying nicer cars, spending money on nicer clothing, buying higher-end appliances for their home. You don't have to do that, right? But when you have more money, you say, huh, I'll do it. And the other reason why they do it is because interest rates are so low. So consumer discretionary and technology have been leading the way. However, if you said, look, I want to be in the materials sector, I believe that things like steel things like mortar and bricks and aluminum, all these things, wood, all that stuff that we need. Do you know how that market's doing right now? Down 2.7% year to date. Okay? It's doing what it's supposed to. It's not losing a ton of money, but it's not exploding at the same trajectory than is technology and consumer discretionary. Another area that is flat is that is down is consumer staples. Now, this is different from consumer discretionary. Consumer staples are toilet paper. We all need that. Toothbrushes. All need that. Basic stuff that we all need as staples in our life. That hasn't done very well. Another area that has been challenged and not done well at all is financials. And people will say, well, financials, and another one is utilities. People say, well, I like my utilities, I like my financial stocks because they pay me a good dividend. Well, they might pay you a dividend, but their stock price isn't moving. And so that might be nice. Look, there's all sorts of stories to be told here, but the reality is that over the past several years, over the past, since actually, the year to date, the growth index, things like technology, things like consumer discretionaries, the growth side of the S&P 500 is up around 17%, while the value side, that's things that pay dividends. Generally, think of it that way. Things that pay dividends, your utility companies, your financial companies, your materials companies, your real estate companies, they're up on average 3 to 4%. So when you start to think about, and you hear the story that the S&P 500 is up year to date 10.6%, understand that there's reasons why your account may be up more or down more than what's happening at the S&P 500. Now, remember, the S&P 500 has been described as it's an index that consists of 500 stocks chosen from market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. It's a market value weighted index with each stock's weight in the index proportion to its market value. Now, that was legalese and not financial advice in a language you can understand. It's just a bunch of stocks. There's more heavy weighting in the stocks in the S&P 500 to the bigger companies. So if you're invested in Amazon and Apple and all these crazy technology companies, you're going to participate more in what the S&P 500 is doing right now. So I'm just trying to give you some perspective. But as we head towards the last couple minutes of the show, we have 3 months left in the year. And I came across this interesting statistic that came from a report that I get from MFS, Mass Financial Services. It came from their By the Numbers report dated October 1st, 2018. And it talks about when you think about the last quarter of the year, regardless of whether it's an election year or not, the last quarter of the year, last 3 months, it says over the last 25 years, since 1993 to 2017, the S&P 500 index has gained an average of 5%, that's total return including dividends, over the final 3 months of the year. So many people look at this market and they say, oh my goodness, Mark, this market is sitting at all-time highs. Can it continue to move forward? Honestly, I don't know. And in fact, I would like to see the market drop 10% or 15% because it really needs to, and it would be a healthy reset on the market. But you need to know this, that 20 of the last 25 fourth quarters, 80% of them have produced a positive total return gain. So when you're thinking about, do I want to get out of this market? Is it too high? Should I get out? First of all, if you're in the market, I hope you're in the market for the long term, not for the short term. You shouldn't even be waiting to see what happens in the next 3 months, but more like the next 5 years or 10 years. Let's go for the ride. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the advice that we provide to you each and every Sunday morning. It's called financial advice in a language you can understand. Our show here is Dollars and Cents, but from here I head to the Topsfield Fair, where I'll be manning the B'nai B'rith booth, serving hot dogs, pastrami, brisket, knishes, and Jewish fare at the Topsfield Fair. If you're at the fair today, come by, swing by, say hello. I got a special gift for you. But for now, I've got to get out of here. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.